Lord, bless your word tonight. I want you to notice four things. There's four things here. Number one, it says that Noah was warned of God of things not seen. Now, isn't it interesting, of all the people on the earth, God one day tapped Noah on the shoulder and said, I've got a warning here. I want to give you a warning. What is that, Lord? I'm going to flood the earth with rainwater. Well, what is a flood? What is rainwater? Because at that time, it had never rained on the earth. The earth was watered from the ground, the Bible says. And also, I'm going to destroy man whom I created. Now, can you imagine, you know, God waking you up and telling you that in the morning? It says that because of that, he moved with fear. Now, the word fear there, the Hebrew word, has to do with reverence, which has to do with worship. He moved with a fear of the Lord, which really God looks at as worship towards him. Then it says he prepared an ark. Wow. What's interesting is the nearest water to Noah was 100 miles away. So here he is preparing a boat that is 1.5 times of a football field and 4 stories high. Incredible, incredible thing God put before him. And then the fourth thing, it says he condemned the world. You see, the world could not save itself. And because of his obedience and because of moving in faith, he was one of the instruments that God used to save his household and to show the world that God is always right. Turn to somebody and say, God's always right. Now, Genesis 6:9 tells us this. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Just and perfect, and he walked with God. The word just there means this. He was righteous and he was full of integrity in his conduct. If you would have met Noah, you would have known immediately this man is not a deceiver. This man is not two-faced. This man thinks right, does right, and he's a man of integrity. Integrity is an inner governing system that causes men to be stable, to be committed, and to be right how they deal with other men. We need some just men today. We need some people that are just, who know how to treat other people the right way. We see just a storm everywhere of people not being treated justly. Noah treated everyone right, every person. You know what I love about this church? We're a multicultural church, different races, different backgrounds, but yet we are being an example to Petersburg that we can differ on some things, but we stay solid on the main thing, and that's Jesus Christ. Never take it for granted when you're in a church of different races and different cultures. Listen, only God can bring us all together. We are an example. Why? Because we realize that Christ in you is the hope of glory. We want to have a safe place where people can come, not be judged by their color, not be judged by who they voted for, not be judged because if they differ in some things, but we have one common denominator, and his name is Jesus Christ, and people are looking for a house of God, hear the word of the Lord, where they feel safe, and they're not going to be judged, and they're not going to be say, you sit in the back and let someone else sit in the front. I thank God for this house, because this house is getting ready to see a spiritual increase. This house is ready to see the harvest come in. This house, because God said, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. I'm here to proclaim harvest, harvest, harvest is coming to a safe house where God's love is more important than my judgment of someone else. Give him a praise, somebody here. A just man. It says he was perfect. That means that he was perfect in his relationship with truth. He wanted the truth. Can you imagine the truth that came to Noah? When God said, I'm the judge of the earth is full of wickedness, I'm going to destroy them. Can you handle that truth, Noah? I don't want to destroy them, but if I do not destroy them, I am not a just God. So he was sound with truth. Then it said he walked with God. What that means, let's just be down where we live. It means to please God. You know what? He walked with God. I'm going to go into that a little bit. Walking with God means this, and this is what Noah did. Noah made his decisions based on his walk with God. Noah made his decisions based on the one that was walking with him. Now, how many know if someone comes up here and walks with me, they're going to hear every word I say? Have you ever had somebody walking with you and they go, is everything all right? You seem like something's bothering you. Have you ever walked with somebody, it's like, do I sense an attitude here? You see, when we say we walk with God, he's not on some planet somewhere out there. He's right with us. Noah made sure that his decisions were based on the one walking with him. So things he could have said, he didn't say. Things he could have done, he didn't do. And God saw that. No, he wasn't perfect. But God saw that he valued his walk with him more than anything else on the earth. God help us to put our walk with God more important than anything else. Noah walked with God. What does that also mean? He was on the same page with God. Do you want to be on the same page with God? I don't want to be on any other page. I don't want to be on the page of opinions and what people think. I want to know what God thinks. God, what's on your page? God saw that in Noah. He says, Noah, I'm going to trust you with something. I'm going to trust that you will not give up for 120 years. It's going to take to build. I trust you, Noah, that you and your sons are going to have to probably spend 25 years just cutting trees down. And there was no power saws. I trust you, Noah, that you are not going to give up halfway through the building. I trust, Noah, that you will trust me when it's built to bring the animals. You've got to trust me, Noah, that I'm going to provide the food for those 40 days and nights. But because Noah walked with God, he trusted God. Turn to somebody and say, I want to trust God. Amen. Now, I love this because the Bible tells us in 2 Peter 2, verse 5, go to that slide. It says he spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Wow. God had told him in Genesis 6, 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shall thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and pitch it without. So Peter says this. He says not only did Noah build the ark, he held revival services at night. That's adding my say. that he was a preacher of righteousness, that he built this ark, probably taking slivers out of his hands before he got, then at night, preaching righteousness. You know what that tells us? As the church, we are building the kingdom. We are doing our ministry. We are serving, but at the same time, we are to be witnesses and preachers of the good news. And you know, he had three of his sons and their wives. Each one had an assignment. None of them could just sit and be still. How many of you believe in this hour? It's going to take all of us together, baby. It's going to take all of us together to get that harvest in. It's going to take all of us together to get the youth in. It's going to take all of us together to get marriages healed and children that have been sexually abused to be healed. How many of us going to take every joint supplying? They couldn't take vacations. They could not that we shouldn't have them. I'm just saying they had this task before them. The government doesn't prepare people to meet Jesus. The economy doesn't prepare people to meet Jesus. Listen, music doesn't prepare and Hollywood doesn't prepare. Only the church. Because the church is the ark. And God is building us. And we have to have faith like Noah. The church has been built now for 2,000 years. When is the Lord coming? Just like Noah, when is the flood coming? Lord, when are we coming? Don't be weary in well-doing, as I already said. I love this. It says he shall pitch it within and without with pitch. Interesting word, the word pitch. Real interesting word. In fact, the word pitch, kephar, the root word for the word pitch is atonement. Yeah. Go look it up in the Hebrew. So, there was atonement when he put the pitch on the ark. It's like a type of atonement. And when you and I are in the ark, we've been atoned for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? Can you imagine putting pitch inside and outside of a structure 1.5 foot ball fields long and 4 stories high? I can't even begin. I mean, they couldn't go to Home Depot. They couldn't go. They had to take trees with pitch, get it out, boil it, make it so it can be spread, and then every day just, and this is after they put the thing together. I tell you what, I want to meet you, Mr. Noah. I want to know how 120 years came and went and you didn't complain. You didn't go back to God and say, God, this is too hard. You didn't say, oh God, I don't know. Can I bring unity of the animals? Are those animals from different backgrounds and different temperaments, can all those animals really be in the same place? Isn't there going to be fighting? Isn't there going to be jealousy? Isn't there going to be competition? Lord, how are you going to bring the different species together? Some are more violent than others. Some are more docile. Some bark, some don't bark. Some are tall. How are you going to bring all the different animals into one place to be fed by Noah? How many believe that's the type of the church? God loves diversity. That's why there's only one of you. Amen. That's why there's only one of me. But never think because you're different or you think different that you're not part of that family in that ark. God brought the animals when the job was done. I'm just wondering, as the body of Christ, as we begin to think about the harvest, we need to make sure we've done everything we can do so God can bring the harvest through us. We got to make sure that the ark is pitched in and out with love. Not confusion, not disunity, not jealousy, not ambition. We got to make sure that this ark is pitched for people to come in. not finding one person against another, or little group over here against this or that, or waves of things in the congregation that would dispel people. God says, I'm not going to bring the animals yet because you're still working on just being united together. That love is the uniter. That sacrifice is the condition and obedience is the pathway. And the fear of the Lord is the atmosphere that brings a reverence that causes our worship to descend up to heaven because we've made God Lord of all. You see, he was a preacher of righteousness. He said this in Genesis 6:13. He said, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence. Through them, behold, I will destroy them with the earth. I want you to notice something here. If you research, there was more than violence. There was immorality. There was lewdness. But God said one particular thing. He said there was violence. Have you ever seen violence like we've seen in this hour? Jesus said it's a sign. Violence is everywhere. Violence is unfair. Violence is cruel. Violence hurts. Violence divides. Violence separates. That's the sign Jesus said. Violence everywhere. Not only in America, nations of the world. Look at how many people died in Sudan. Look at how many people died during Stalin. 50 million. Look at how many died under Hitler. 8 million. Look at how many people every day face a violent situation in their cities. Yeah, it's a sign, Jesus said. Just like in Noah's day, violence is filling the earth. Well, what's the answer? The answer is the ark of safety. The answer is Christ. The answer is men's hearts being changed from a murderer to a servant of God, from a prostitute to a servant of God, to a thief to be a servant. How does that happen? Happens where the atonement is, where the ark is. These altars here, people go from hell to heaven at this altar. People go from sickness to health at this altar. People go from emotional abuse and sexual abuse to wholeness in the house of God. The devil hates the house of God. The devil wants to play down the house of God. The devil wants to make it like it's a social club. The devil wants to make the house of God non-effective in this earth. The only way it can stay effective, it's not so much up to God as it is up to us. It's up to us to maintain the presence of God, the Word of God. It's up to us to say some things and some things I don't say. It's up to us to examine our hearts before God. Create within me a clean heart, David said. And renew a right spirit, that's attitude. Give me a right attitude, Lord. It's up to us to maintain the pitch on the ark. That when we get to everything is about me in our singing and everything's about me in the preaching, we need to get back and get some of that blood because it's not about me. And we need to put that blood, some more blood on the ark, that the congregation and the house of God, it's about the blood that was shed. It's never about me. Meism is a sign of spiritual immaturity based on a teenage type of ideology. I've never grown up spiritually, but when I begin to mature, I put away the childishness of my own. Everything's about me, 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 me. No, you see, we need to start pitching the church again with the blood of Jesus that was shed for us who owed a debt we couldn't pay. But he paid the debt that we owed. Noah is a man of faith. You're a man of faith. You're a woman of faith. And we need together to build this ark. This property's not here by coincidence. This property wasn't just for 20 years ago. This property wasn't just for the ones that filled this house. This property wasn't just for the ones that played basketball over there. God says, behold, I do a new thing. You see, the old is passing away. You see, the new thing causes the old. We don't forget the old, but we don't use the old as a template. We use the new as the template. Amen. We confess that there's newness. We confess that God is moving in this place. Why? Because it's His ark, and it's His church, and it's His people. Doesn't belong to me, doesn't belong to you, belongs to our Lord Jesus Christ, who established His church. And so I shudder when people criticize the ark. I shudder when people complain against the church. I shudder when people complain against pastors and they're doing their best. I shudder to think that if they go stand before a holy God, that He's going to say, oh, I know you're having a bad day. I just shudder for those people, because with the same words, you can be speaking faith. You can be speaking encouragement. You can be speaking and coming against demons. You can't come against demons one day and the next day criticize. We have an ark here. We have so much time. Time's running out. The world, they don't understand the violence. I hate violence. I'm not a confronter. I hate violence. But Jesus told us, in the last moments, there's going to be violence everywhere. Don't be surprised, be grieved by it, but don't let that grief stop your faith. Put some more pitch on the ark. Find out what you can do to build the rooms. Find out where you belong. You know, all of them, when they were done, God brought the harvest, He shut the door, and they were saved. In this hour, God's promised to save your household. Noah had his household saved. Listen to me as I close. Noah and his household were saved, not because he was perfect, but because he obeyed. And because his purpose in life wasn't to be famous, wasn't to be on television, wasn't to be a famous star in the charismatic movement. His purpose in life was to be fulfilled by doing the will of God, walking with God, and seeing his family saved. Have you got in prayer time about your unsaved loved ones or wayward children? Have you got in there and used your authority against the devil and told Satan, get your hands off my seed? I bind your powers. I dismiss you from your assignment. If there's ever a time we need to pray, it's now. If there's ever a time we need to proclaim, it's now. We'll never have another open door like this to get to the hearts of men. People are hurting. People are confused. People are wondering where God is in all this. Well, it's time for us to rise up and be the people of God and be people of faith, and let love be your aim. Let love be your goal. Let faith arise and hold up that shield. Hold up that shield to a post-Christian nation called America. Christians are not celebrated in our country anymore. Christians have been kicked out of universities for decades. Hollywood mocks Christianity. Okay, we understand that. What are we going to do? I'm going to find my place in the ark. And it might be, at one day I might be hammering nails. The next day I might be gathering some food. But whatever it is, I'm going to do it with a pure heart. I'm going to do it with a good attitude. I'm going to find my place, because God's watching. And I'm going to close with this. God's looking for a church that He can say, you know, the Rock Church of Petersburg is walking with God. We have no other agenda. We don't promote one person over another. We do not treat people, one person different from another. We're all treated the same here with respect and honor and love. Because when I'm walking with Jesus, I can do no less. So I want to ask you tonight, Are you walking with God? God doesn't want us to say, God, you walk with me on my journey. It's, God, I want to walk with you. Some people have not learned that lesson. That, oh yeah, God's with me, but I do what I want. Oh, that's not what Noah did. Because if God says turn and I don't turn, if God says change and I don't change, then am I really walking with God? Or do I just have God walking with me and my agenda? God trusted Noah that halfway through the ark he wouldn't start a film company. Halfway through the ark, he wouldn't get upset and blame God for the long period of time. He walked with him. And the work was finished. The Bible says that he was a preacher of righteousness. Righteousness is what we receive by faith through grace when we accept Christ. But then there is a righteousness that we walk in. That I think right. I act right. I talk right. And I do right. There's a practical righteousness. Am I a person that can take instructions from Noah? Or am I going to tell Noah I know how to do it better? But God didn't talk to you. He talked to Noah. Am I able to do things and fit in the program? Or do I have to have attention? Do I have to be the first one? Do I have to be the... Or can I, with humility and grace, find my place in that ark? The whole world is reeling and rocking, folks. Not only from the virus, but from all this other stuff. God's heart is grieved, of course. He wishes none to perish. He wishes no one to be murdered innocently. And he's looking to his people. Hear me now. He's looking to his people to make the difference. For has he not said, you are a city on a hill? Hath he not said, do not put your lamp under a basket? You don't need a lamp or light of the city when it's light out. You need it when it's dark out. Let your light so shine. Let your love be unconditional. God wants to make the Rock Church of Petersburg a safe haven like the ark was for Noah. That when people come in, they don't feel competition. They don't feel someone more spiritual than the other. They don't feel ambition or jealousy. But they sense the humility of Christ. They sense the yoke of Christ, lowliness and meekness, forbearing one another. We're not always going to agree on everything. My wife and I don't agree on everything. It's time to practice forbearance, long-suffering. We can get through this together. We can get through this. It's the enemy that came to divide. You know, what happened with Cain and Abel was the spirit of competition. He looked at it like they were competing at the sacrifice. And he lost. But that's because he had a spirit of competition. We're not here for competition. We're here for completion. God's going to complete us. He's looking for a safe house. He's looking for people that'll take the blood again and pitch it back on their hearts and at the house of God. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood. Love God's house. Encourage God's people. Remember, we want God We want to walk with God, not tell God to walk with us. Because some of the places he's not going to go with us. We want him to walk with us, Brother Mike. Can God find a church in the city? Can God find a people that are so focused on building the ark, making it safe? I believe if he finds that house, he will pour out without measure grace and mercy. Can he find a house where we're watchmen every morning praying? Can he find a house where we're sacrificial giving? Can he find a house where we keep a tender heart like Josiah? God said to Josiah, because your heart was tender, I'm sparing judgment on it. Because your heart was tender. So many hearts today are not tender. Things can hurt deeply, pierce our conscience. But that's when we need to come to the cross. Say, Lord, take this from me. I can't carry this thing that's bothering me. We'll all face things in our life that will bring us to our knees. We will all face injustice. We'll all face violence at one point or another, indirectly or directly. But at that moment, I've learned to look to my Savior, who opened not his mouth, but committed his soul to him who judges righteously. Can God find a people? Can God find a place? Can God find a person in this hour like Noah? I pray that he can. I pray we'll be part of that ark in the name of Jesus. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we sense your presence. Lord, let us walk as Noah did, justly, honoring truth and loving righteousness and reverencing you. Lord, we are in a crucial hour, a crucial moment. You told us about it. But Lord, we want to make sure that we're just not sitting and talking about it, but we are putting our faith to work, because faith without works is dead. Help us, Lord. We need your help to grasp the new thing, to walk in new waters, to cross rivers and climb mountains. And I pray for the one tonight that's struggling these last few months, weeks, Lord, I just pray, give them peace. Lord, I pray that you would bind us together with cords of love. Let this church be an example to others of a safe haven for the presence of God and the growth of his people. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord a shout tonight. God bless you tonight.